It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. I'm your host for tonight, Sam Sheehan. Joining me a little later beyond the glass is going to be Nick Sesento, and we're going to be talking about a big, big, big Celtics win tonight, 104-98 over the Detroit Pistons. The Celtics successfully bounce back from a rough outing in Toronto, and we got to see a lot of ups and downs in that game tonight. So it was always good to sort of see that play out like that. Our opening segment tonight is powered by SeatGeek. As the Celtics playoffs push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek will help you find the best seats and the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing like being in the arena for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. I'm a guy who goes to some games. I go to some concerts, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere in just a few taps. I can easily find seats. That can be a big thing for if you're a concert guy. They add shows. You can buy those up right away. I actually just use the SeatGeek app. I'm going to buy tickets to a show on my own going out over here in Brooklyn. But let's get back to the Boston Celtics tonight. Thanks to SeatGeek for powering our opening segment. And I'm going to throw in to my man behind the glass, Nick Sesento. Nick, what did you think of that game tonight?
I thought that, the Celtics held control pretty much for most of the game. I think that it was, the Celtics had a lead for the majority of the game. The Pistons didn't quite want to, go quietly into that dark night or whatever that phrase is, from the old poem or whatever. They just didn't want to give up. They kept fighting back. They made a game of it. I think at one point in the, third quarter, they were down something like 15 points or something, and still, another meltdown from the Celtics where we just weren't able, where the team just wasn't able to, put their foot on the neck of the opponent and just kind of keep them out of the game. Just couldn't coast to an easy victory, even though, if you watch the game, the Celtics, had control for most of the game. Isaiah Thomas did his thing, as always, with 33 points, or as we should say, as usual, with 33 points. What I did notice in particular to Isaiah Thomas is the strategy the Pistons used to kind of keep Isaiah Thomas, where they threw an extra man at Isaiah Thomas coming up the court, basically right at the three-point line, like right at the top of the key, the very, the very top, throwing a double team, trying to trap him early. And I noticed that had, a modicum of success in keeping Isaiah from, really exploding. It throws him off rhythm, and I think that's a strategy the Raptors used the other night as well. I think that's what the Atlanta Hawks did to us in the playoffs in previous years. That's basically the strategy, that if you can keep Isaiah Thomas – from really, getting rolling, getting in the rhythm. Even though he had 33 points, he wasn't really quite in his rhythm, I don't think, until maybe later in the game. It's more just that strategy that if you can game plan specifically for Isaiah and keep him out of his rhythm, the rest of the team, is going to have trouble carrying the water for him. I think tonight we had a good, spreading the scoring out. I think Jaylen Brown had a fantastic game. Ooh, and if he can continue... Absolutely. Terry Rozier, let's give some, shout outs to the bench as well. Had a pretty, productive game. If those guys can continue to be productive, then the Celtics are going to, do well moving forward, because that's how they'll improve. Obviously, they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, but if their young players can continue to come into their own, that will be their improvement for this season. But it goes to show you can, if you take Isaiah Thomas out of the game, anybody can contend with the Celtics. Anybody can compete with the Celtics. The Pistons aren't, world beaters, but, they made it a game. They kept it a game, and I think that's, pretty much how they did it, because on any other night, Isaiah Thomas probably would have scored more. They were getting into the paint pretty easily for most of the game until they started trapping and doubling Isaiah Thomas. But good win. We needed to get back in the win column.
Right, exactly. No, and I think, to your point, I totally agree with everything you were saying about, bothering Isaiah. I mean, he's the engine that makes the Celtics go, and we saw, we saw them get the Celtics, take the Celtics away from what they wanted to do. I mean, I think there was a devastating amount, eight turnovers in the third, nine turnovers in the third, like just really sloppy, un-Celtics-like basketball, and I think that's kind of a credit to, you know, a little bit kind of how reliant the Celtics can be on Isaiah Thomas. I mean, how can you not? He is a, he's like a strong guy. So he's like a, he's a strong guy. He can get in there, but I think you really needed Marcus Smart to get up there and, take some of the workload and sort of help Isaiah out tonight. Something else I think we noticed tonight, the Celtics really had this game in hand when they were better on the glass. I mean, I think we always knew that Detroit with Drummond is always going to be a bad matchup for the Celtics and their bad rebounding numbers. And we really saw that play out in the third quarter tonight. Amir Johnson actually had about seven or eight boards in the first half and then only got one the rest of the way. Now, he didn't really play much the rest of the way, but, you know, Kelly Olynyk finished up with a negative 11, team worst on the night. It's not a mistake that Amir Johnson's the better rebounder, Kelly Olynyk one of the weaker rebounders for the bigs. We saw that, the Celtics put together, the Pistons put together that 11-0 run after the Celtics had their own 8-0 run to, start the quarter. A little bit of an abbreviated show tonight, thanks to Rip Hamilton's great speech running late. So we're just going to jump right into the calls straight away. So we're going to go to Miley in Ohio. Miley, I want to hear about what you think Jaylen Brown's ceiling is going to be going forward.
He's feeling like that he's progressing as a player, and I think every game he's getting better and better, and he just keeps putting up like big numbers.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. What were you calling in for tonight, Miley? What did you see out of that game here tonight? Do you think they should have traded Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown at the trade deadline?
I don't know so much about that. I just think we should have got a rebounder.
Yeah, a rebounder would have been something to look for tonight. I think we saw Amir Johnson kind of pick up that mantle tonight, and they sort of missed that guy. What did you see out there tonight? What sort of popped out to you?
Well, I saw that Isaiah Thomas finally got over 30 in a game again.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I thought they got Al Horford involved in the offense more, which helped.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, they were playing better, the first half than they did, the second half.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. I think they sort of let the Pistons get back into it with that 11-0 run. To your point about, Al Horford out there tonight, I think, when he's shooting, Al Horford had his bad shooting half in the first half. And that was when the Celtics were really cooking. So, I agree with what you're saying about Al Horford being involved. Even when he's just him taking shots, we can see, how much the floor opens up for him and, how great we see that, going forward with, what they have going on. What else, anything else you see jump out at you tonight, Miley?
I'm just going to say how, the young players were starting to, play better today because I think that they realized – since they didn't make a move at the deadline, that they need to step up if they're going to keep winning games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we saw Terry Rozier grab 13 points tonight. Jaylen Brown also had 13 points tonight. And that big, big, big three-pointer he was fouled on didn't get the free throw, but Marcus Smart ended up getting the offensive rebound. And I think, that kind of can give Celtics fans a little bit of a glimmer of hope if you were someone who was upset at Danny at the trade deadline that, this is, you don't have to feel too bad about this team going forward and what they're going to have going forward. I think this is a team that's really going to be ready to kind of develop into their talent. We're probably going to see that as these young guys improve, and that's, you know, that's the upside that people kind of forget. We talk about, you know, getting Paul George, getting Jimmy Butler, adding these guys, but we forget that pretty much everyone on this team, well, actually everyone on this team besides Gerald Green is below the age of 30. So, you know, everyone here on this team can improve. And, you know,
how old is Al Horford? Al Horford's like
11. I think he's 29, if I believe, but I could be wrong about that. I'll double check. But the point being going forward, he is 30. He is 30. You're correct. Al Horford is 30, but so I guess Al Horford and Gerald Green going forward. But that's still a team that's, pretty young for the most part. And we're going to see them, you know, only continue to improve going forward, you know, especially with their impact guys like Jaylen, like Marcus Smart, continue to win going forward. Thanks for the call, Miley. I really appreciate calling in. I think you're really onto something with this Al Horford thing and getting him involved in the offense and what that can help with going forward. Any last thoughts? Okay,
did you guys think about not making a move before the deadline?
Well, myself, I think it kind of depends on the deals. I think, Danny Ainge has earned our trust at this point. He clearly knows what he's doing. Everyone kind of thought with the Nets picks that we were going to see this, Celtics team, reload, over like a 5-year span. You know, everyone thought this was going to be a pretty slow turnaround. We were going to have to wait for the Nets picks to mature, for Marcus Smart to come into his own. But, they had a couple of things break right for them. They got Jay Crowder back as a throw-in in the Dallas trade. They got Isaiah Thomas for literally free. so it's, it's a really big, I think that we have to remember that the Celtics have a plan. We've got a front office who's one of the best in the business. And, they are going to end up going into this offseason with maximum cap space. Now, what they can do with that, I mean, there's no guarantee, but, having a top 4 pick in a, a pretty deep draft and having a shot at, Blake Griffin and Gordon Hayward, some of these other guys, I think that's, I think that that's not worth sleeping on, and, they can always make that deal for Paul George or Jimmy Butler at trade night. I don't know. What do you think, Nick? What are your thoughts on the no trade?
Well, I agree with you in to a certain degree. I think that the asking price with any team is going to be high for Danny Ainge based on the fact that everybody knows what Danny Ainge has, that he has, it's obscene the amount of assets that he has, and teams are going to ask high coming right out of the gate. So that's basically what you saw with those blockbuster moves, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, that the asking price was, two or three of our, key players, whether it's Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, and then on top of that, the Nets 2017, this year's Nets pick. And that's just too much to give away, your entire team, because what are you getting? You're getting back a superstar like, for example, Paul George or Jimmy Butler, but you no longer have the supporting cast, to make the team. You have to have the balance of both. I absolutely think that Isaiah Thomas needs some help at some point. He just turned 28 this year, so I mean, with a smaller player like him, I don't know what the shelf life is on that type of player. You can compare him, to Allen Iverson in terms of, maybe size and height and stuff like that. And Allen Iverson was able to score, a lot of points deep into his career, well into his 30s, even led the league in scoring after his, 30th birthday. But, I don't think we should take for granted that Isaiah Thomas is going to keep playing at this high a clip, at this, great a clip, being such a, a prolific scorer for, well into the future. And I don't think that when you have a team like this that's playing well as it is, that you should, when you have that lightning in a bottle, I think that's the time when you should strike. And I can see why Danny didn't make one of the bigger moves, didn't trade away, half the team plus the Nets pick, or make, give away the Nets pick for nothing, for, a Drummond or a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler. Paul George, for example, who's coming up on a new contract after next season and probably wouldn't even stick around because he's hell-bent on going to the Lakers. But I think that it was a mistake for Danny Ainge not to at least address some of the needs, the rim protection needs, the rebounding needs, with maybe a smaller move. The Bulls gave away Taj Gibson, for example. The Philadelphia 76ers gave away Nerlens Noel to Dallas for, you know, Bogut and a couple of second-round picks and some other guy, Justin Anderson or something that, you know, you probably never heard of. So there were smaller moves that I think that Danny Ainge could have made that weren't the blockbuster moves that would have maybe addressed some of those issues. And with a guy like Nerlens Noel, still young, maybe, you know, coming up on a contract after this season, but is from Boston, maybe would have wanted to stay, you know, to be in a place where he knows he was going to win and it's his hometown. You never know. So that's my opinion. I think that maybe the big blockbuster move is something Danny was right to wait on, but to not address any of the issues at all, none at all, I think was a bit of a mistake, because there were smaller moves that could have been made and Danny just didn't make them. And now we're looking at, you know, the waiver wire, basically, like, are we going to get Andrew Bogut? Are we going to get Terrence Jones? Are we going to get, you know, Larry Sanders? And I've heard Sanders' tryouts have been terrible. I personally hope we can get Terrence Jones. I think Terrence Jones would be a nice addition to this team, but anything to address the roster issues definitely is something I think Ainge should have done and still should do, but this is my two cents.
I totally agree. I was a big believer that they would end up, getting Bogut in the buyout market once he was, you know, heading off for Philadelphia. But, you know, news coming out today that he's going to sign with the Cavaliers. So that really just leaves, you know, Terrence Jones out there. And, you know, I know Terrence Jones sort of has like he has sort of a weird history with Houston, with them, you know, cutting him in the past. So I think that, but they also have the most money that they can give to any of the buyout candidates. The Celtics only with the room mid-level exception to offer their guys, which is just a little bit over $3 million, a little bit under $3 million, versus what some of these other teams, particularly Houston, for those top contenders can offer. Again, our opening segment tonight was brought to you by SeatGeek. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, you just download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. You enter promo code CLNS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So you can download the SeatGeek app and enter CLNS. It's the same name as the show you're listening to right now, and you can get a free $20 back on your first purchase. So that's a pretty great deal. All right, guys, we're going to throw to our first network break. And when we get back, we're going to open up the Movement Watchers call-in lines and take a couple more of your calls. So, again, my name is Sam Sheehan. I'm with Nick Sesento here behind the glass. And you're listening to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio.
The first segment of today's Celtics postgame show is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates anymore. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter. Jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200 plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. Find candidates in any city or industry or nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast and the first time. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses, and you can find out for free because you're a listener of the Celtics postgame show. Post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics is now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches. They start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. Tonight, we're recapping the Boston Celtics' victory in their last game at the Palace of Auburn Hills, 104-98, that victory over the Detroit Pistons in a game that was probably a little tighter than it needed to be. We're now going to open up the Movement Watches call lines, 347-215-7771. Again, the number to reach us at is 347-215-7771. The phone lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. While department store watches start at $400, $500, the good old folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out and are passing those savings directly on to you. Movement Watches are slick, fashionable, and most importantly, they're affordable. I know that's important to me. Starting at just $95, go to movementwatches.celticsbeat for 15% off your first order with free shipping. That's mvmtwatches.com/celticsbeat. Okay, so we're going to open up the call line. So, again, get those calls into us, guys, and we're going to roll right along. I'm here with Nick Sicento. I'm Sam Sheehan, and we're talking about the Boston Celtics win tonight over the Pistons. So something I noticed tonight, sort of thinking about where the Celtics are at in their season and how they're kind of settling, that this is going to be a very important part of their season. The fan base is a little bit ready to turn on the Celtics with, Danny not making a move at the trade deadline. I know people are a little bit frustrated for what they might have seen as, an opportunity to get the star that we've all been hearing so much about that will put this team over the top and into contention with, the Cleveland and Torontos of the world. And, it certainly doesn't help to have Toronto get guys like Serge Ibaka and PJ Tucker to shore up their rotations and to have, the Cavaliers seemingly get further ahead, picking up Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut out of the buyout market. But tonight we saw a Celtics team that, we've got to remember is young and improving. And I think we saw a lot of that improvement on display tonight with their young guys, specifically Terry Rozier, specifically Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown was second game high in plus minus with plus 14, five rebounds for the Rook. We saw Jay Crowder also get on the rebounding action to get 11 sort of help out on the boards. And just, this number seems wrong to me because it seemed like he had 30, but Marcus Smart with five tonight and some really big moments, really getting himself mixed up in it and, going toe-to-toe with, Marcus Morris. And even when, things sort of didn't go the Celtics way and they weren't able to get some of those tough calls, they were able to, sort of work it out, settle down, get those rebounds, make adjustments. They weren't much, but make enough of an adjustment that they were able to, weather the storm and get this victory against an inferior team in the Detroit Pistons that are having struggles of their own. So, Nick, what I want to ask you, what do you think going forward is going to be, you know, the Celtics rotation? I mean, I think we saw sort of Brad piecemeal some of this stuff, and we've seen, you know, Jarebko struggle pretty mightily tonight. And once again, we saw the minutes kind of all over the place, 19 minutes, 13 minutes, 19 minutes for Johnson, 13 minutes for Jarebko, 4 minutes for Zeller, 19 for Olynyk. You know, we got a big rotation that's not really set. And now that the team, you know, for all intents and purposes after this trade deadline is what it is, what do you think Brad Stevens is going to look for, you know, going forward from this big rotation?
I'm not really sure. That seems to be Brad Stevens' MO, at least in his time, mm-hmm. obviously in his time here. He doesn't have any other teams that he's head coached in the NBA, but that seems to be his MO. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, even though the roster is, like you said, for all intents and purposes solidified right now, he doesn't really have, you know, a second option other than Isaiah Thomas. I mean, there's nobody that I think that you know exactly what you're going to get from them every single night beyond Isaiah Thomas. I mean, you know, you have Marcus Smart, who has, you know, some fantastic games, and I think the ratio of good games to – you know, to bad games is rapidly decreasing. He's having a lot more good games than he used to have bad games, you know, especially bad shooting games. Since the new year, basically, especially the month of February, he's been shooting a lot better than he did before. I think we've all noticed that his passing has improved a lot as well. The one thing about this rotation that, you know, kind of puzzles me is what's going to happen when Avery Bradley finally gets back into the lineup, what they're going to do with Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart, to me, just plays a lot better alongside Isaiah Thomas, and Isaiah Thomas plays a lot better alongside Marcus, because in those situations like we saw tonight where teams, you know, focus in and basically try to pin down Isaiah Thomas with, you know, a quick trap, you know, in the half court or a double team, you know, before he's even able to initiate the offense, you have Marcus Smart, who's passing, ball distribution, and playmaking has improved so dramatically this season that he's actually allowed Isaiah Thomas to play certain possessions off the ball with Marcus Smart, you know, playing the point guard position. And I think mm-hmm. having the flexibility to do that between Marcus and Isaiah Thomas, allowing Isaiah to play off the ball and basically play the two guard spot on offense, and then have, you know, Marcus turn around and play the two guard on defense. That flexibility is key, I think, to their success at this moment. Marcus Smart compensates for so much defensively that Isaiah Thomas gives up in with his size and with his, you know, lack of – I don't want to get too hard on his defense, but, you know, what people basically yeah. criticize as, you know, the hole that he has in defense, that's going to be the biggest adjustment for them to make, is what happens when Avery Bradley comes back. Because if you put Marcus Smart back on the bench, that bench unit of Marcus and Terry Rozier is nowhere near as effective as, for example, Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart. I think you might have to consider putting Avery as the leader off the bench. And for me, my biggest disappointment, and I don't know if there's anything the team can do about it, is just the poor play of Al Horford. He's been as inconsistent, if anything, consistently unimpressive for almost the entire season, and they did nothing to address any of the, you know, those front court, those big man issues, nothing. And all we have is really Al Horford, Amir Johnson, and Kelly Olynyk, mm-hmm. you know, to rely on. And none of them are really, you know, the low post, you know, beasts on offense or defense or the boards that you'd really like them to be. So I think it's going to be a continuation. To answer your question, you know, long story short, it's going to be a continuation of Brad Stevens just playing matchups. That's what he does, is he picks the lineups and the you know, the rotations that he thinks are going to be best for that matchup, because he doesn't have anybody other than Isaiah Thomas that can force teams to basically react to what they're doing. He's basically in a constant state of reaction, putting his players in the best position to win rather than forcing other teams to react to him, because he doesn't have those players like that. He doesn't have a secondary or a third option. It's basically just whoever steps up that night, and whoever steps up might be somebody different. Tonight it was right. Jaylen Brown was one of those guys, and Terry Rozier was another. But you can never guarantee, you can never depend on Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier to give you 13 every single night. That's just not reasonable at this stage.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, and you know, I think to your point, you know, you're absolutely right that, you know, what, you know, besides, you know, that hiccup in Chicago right before the All-Star break and what we saw, you know, happen in Toronto.
That robbery
is exactly what it was in Chicago. We've seen this Celtics starting lineup with Jaylen Brown in there do really well with that extra, like, athleticism there on that line next to Isaiah Thomas. And just having, you know, I think you're absolutely right that, you know, Brad's going to have a really tough decision to make, you know, when Avery Bradley gets back. So I'm like, one of the things I'm definitely going to be looking for is, do you mess up, you know, the good thing you have going with Jaylen Brown, or do you let Avery Bradley go to the pass? But I think, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of those things. You know, it's going to be an interesting thing. It's definitely going to be something that we're going to need to keep our eyes on, and definitely going to be a tough thing for Brad Stevens, you know, to sort of look for going forward. Again, guys, the movement call watches are open, 347-215-7771. Give us a call. Let us know what you thought of, you know, this game against Detroit, which I would characterize as ugly. But, you know, maybe you can call in, disagree with me, and we can have a chat about it. You know, you are listening to CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and visual coverage for the Boston Celtics. You're listening to our post-game show, and again, we're talking about the Celtics and the Pistons. I think it was good to see Tyler Zeller get into the game and get some minutes tonight. You know, because like you were saying, Nick, I think one of the benefits of having this many, you know, serviceable, solid players on a roster is you can sort of ride the hot hand. Like, you can sort of figure out who's got it tonight and who doesn't. And, you know, you can figure out who's going to play in those situations. Adding Avery Bradley back would seem to be, you know, the thing. I think, you know, Abby Chin of CSNNE reporting tonight that according to Brad Stevens, he should be back any game now. So I wouldn't be surprised. They wouldn't rule out Bradley for tomorrow night against the Hawks. So we'll see how that goes. But it's looking like, you know, at the very least, he'll be back for that next game. So, you know, getting Avery Bradley back, integrated into this lineup, you've got the extra 3-point shooting, you've got the all NBA defense. But he's also coming back to a rotation where, you know, things have been working pretty well. I mean, you could pretty easily slide him into Terry Rozier's minutes, in the starting lineup if you don't want to, if you think that Jaylen Brown has been doing a great job at the two. But you've also got to remember that this is, you know, the longest tenured Celtic. This is a guy who's been with the team the longest, all the way back to the Paul Pierce, KG, you know, Ray Allen days. I mean, he's the reason Ray Allen probably left to go to Miami because they had that extra. Yeah, right? Ray who? You know, because they had that extra budding young player in Avery Bradley. So, I think it's definitely, you know, there were some murmurs from some different voices, mine among them, that maybe coming up on this deadline might have been a good time to, you know, trade Avery. We're going into he's wrapping up the second to last year of his deal this year, and he's going to be going into next year, his last year on that $8 million contract. And you got to believe he's going to be looking for something between $12 and $20 million a year that next year in 2018, when we have also got Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart coming off of the books. So decisions are going to need to be made for the Boston Celtics. And, you know, these next couple of games, seeing how Avery Bradley integrates back into the lineup, that's definitely going to be something I'm going to be looking forward to. What do you think, Nick? Are you worried at all about Avery Bradley's, you know, tenure with the Celtics going forward? Like, what do you think is going to be his role with the Celtics longer term?
I think Avery Bradley has to be. I mean, just from a logistical point, and I'll take, you know, my feelings, my emotions, whatever, how I feel about certain players completely out of it, and to say Avery Bradley has to be the one player that you think is not going to be in green after next season. He has to be the one guy, just for the sake that he makes about $8 million a year, which is, you know, which is not as much as obviously he'd like. I think there were some rumors at the beginning of, you know, this season, at the end of last season, somewhere around then, recent rumors that he was unhappy with his, I think it was last season, he was slightly unhappy with his only $8 million a year contract, but it's still, $8 million is still somewhat substantial. It's not a $3 million contract or four, it, you know, it's worth something, and he's worth something as a player. I just think from a pragmatic perspective, he has to be the one that you see going out the door, because if I think you said something like 12 to 20 million. I think 12 million is completely lowballing. I don't think the Avery Bradley would agree to sign for 12 million anywhere. If he were to give us the super, you know, the super hometown discount when he's not even from Boston and he's already kind of, you know, salty about his, you know, his low salary as it is, I don't think he's taking 12 million from us or 12 million from anyone. If Evan Turner got 17 million from the Portland Trailblazers last year, I think you're going to see Avery Bradley probably getting close to 20 million. And I think Marcus Smart coming up on his contract is not going to get quite as much because he doesn't have that stroke that Avery Bradley has worked years to develop. There's no guarantee that Marcus Smart is ever going to have that stroke. I think that he's showing improvement, but you know, for what you're going to get in terms of money, I think that Avery Bradley's probably going to cost you, you know, about $5 to $7 million more than Marcus Smart. And I think that it just makes more sense the way Marcus Smart and Isaiah Thomas play together, that you just keep, you know, Marcus Smart, because it gives you just that little bit more flexibility. If Avery's going to get, you know, 20, 22 million, Marcus is probably going to get, you know, 15 to 17. And I think that, you know, that few million extra is worth keeping, especially all things considered. Marcus Smart is a legitimately, you know, credibly sized shooting guard. He's 6'4". You know, he's big. He has that muscle, so he's a little bit, you know, a little bit more burly than other, you know, shooting guards that make up for maybe his slight lack of height. But Avery Bradley is 6'1", and he's a shooting guard. He is good as a one-on-one defender as he is. You throw a pick on him, and he's not long enough to recover off, you know, off somebody giving him the pick on defense. He's not long enough to recover and affect the shot if he's caught under a pick. So just his size alone, when you put him up next to Isaiah Thomas being 5'9", when he's really more like 5'7", but you know, the 5'9"-ish Isaiah Thomas playing point, and then the 6'1"-ish Avery Bradley playing the two, just doesn't work. Avery Bradley, in my opinion, gotta love him. He was there with, you know, the big three era. He was, like you said, he was the reason probably that Ray Allen went out the door, because he was basically, Rajon Rondo lobbied for him, for Avery Bradley to play in that starting lineup, and Doc Rivers ceded that to, you know, Rajon Rondo. We know that Ray Allen hated Rajon Rondo, and I think vice versa, and you know, that was basically what happened. But all things, you know, come, the situation's changed. You have Isaiah Thomas here now. Avery Bradley, as good as he is, I think that he's the one player you got to look at that's going to be, you know, the Ainge is trying to package up and put out the door, because there's no way we're keeping Isaiah, Avery, and Marcus. I don't think that one of them has to go.
Right.
And you're going to give Isaiah that max money. You're not going to be able to afford the 20-plus million Avery's wanting. And I think Marcus Smart has a higher clip. He's at a higher clip. He has a higher upside, especially for what this Celtics team needs. So Avery Bradley's probably out the door. For all of Avery Bradley fans that might be listening tonight, I think injury or no injury has nothing to do with him being injured right now. He's just the one guy looking at it from a pragmatic contractual perspective, from a money perspective. Marcus Smart makes more sense.
Right. And I think you made the correct comparison, you know, like, you know, it's actually kind of a similar situation to Evan Turner. Now, given Avery Bradley is a much, much better player than Evan Turner, but you know, I think Celtics fans didn't necessarily want Evan Turner gone. It was just that Evan Turner had sort of outplayed, you know, the role that the Celtics were able to give him. And he was able to get a lot more money and, you know, more minutes with, you know, the Blazers. And, you know, that hasn't worked out so great for him. But, you know, Avery Bradley, like I said, a better player. But, you know, it's not – you don't have to look that hard to see him you know, finding a way or finding a place for him to land. You know, for example, you know, I could see Philadelphia having a lot of interest for Ben Simmons. You know, he's going to basically be their giant point guard whenever he gets healthy next year. And, you know, I could see them trying to throw money at Bradley to try and get like a, you know, someone who could guard opposing guards while he handles the ball and, you know, shoots it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of, a lot of high offers for the services of, you know, a 3-and-D player of Avery's caliber. So, you know, I think that it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens with them going forward, and, you know, how the Avery Bradley saga is going to play out here in Boston over this last year and a third. Last thing I want to touch on tonight, there's an interesting stat going out, tweeted out tonight from Brian Robb over at Celtics Hub, was tweeted today that earlier in the game, Jarebko was 4 of 18 from the field since he had to start wearing the mask due to the broken nose. So what I want to ask you, Nick, is how unsafe would you think it would be to get Jarebko out of the mask? Because the Celtics are really missing his shooting from the big positions. We've really seen, you know, the Celtics have a lot of trouble with their rebounding and their shooting with, you know, Jarebko sort of a shell of himself with that mask gait, you know, and ironically of on all nights here on Rip Hamilton night. So what do you think? What do you think of, are you a truther? Is the Jarebko mask thing real? Or do you think that that's just, you know, sort of a silly stat, and that's just sort of just something people are latching onto?
Am I a truther? What are we talking about? Building 7 now? Am I a truther? The Red Code Gate? No. I believe it. I mean, if you've ever played any sport and you've tried to put something over your face or done anything where you have something over your face, even if it's not entirely obscuring your view, it just becomes, you know, it can be a psychological thing. You know, as someone that has, you know, a minor case of OCD, I don't like having certain things, you know, on it, the little prickly, tingly sensations, like, get it off me now. I can imagine if, you know, he's not used to that, if he doesn't like it, you know, he it's going to affect his game, and he's one of those players that I don't think he's, you know, athletically gifted enough to where he can, you know, do like Kobe did when he wore that crazy Zorro mask or whatever it was. The black one that he had. I think after Dwayne Wade busted his face up, yeah, he wore that crazy black mask or whatever, looked like Zorro. He just doesn't have, you know, that capability. As long as his hairline doesn't start receding the way that Rip Hamilton did, I think it
would be. Yeah.
I mean, Rip Hamilton went to cornrows. Yes, especially with that German hipster haircut that he has, the Swedish hipster, I should say, my bad, the Swedish hipster haircut that he has, that smooth comb over, that if he starts receding his hairline with the mask the way Rip Hamilton did. No, but listen, to be more serious, if we have to rely on Jonas Jarebko to get, you know, to be a significant part of our rebounding, to be a significant part of our shooting and, you know, whatever, you know, outside scoring, then, you know, we have bigger issues than just Jonas Jarebko and what kind of facewear he's wearing. You know what I'm saying? We should have that already, you know, locked up. And I think the emergence of Jaylen Brown is probably where you're going to look at to, you know, to pick up whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Because it's not really our choice. You can't say, hey, Jonas, you know, you kind of suck with that mask on. Can you take that off and risk your pretty Swedish face for, you know, the rest of your life, you know, to play some better ball? The league wouldn't allow it. I think it's an issue of doctors, and I think he's medically required. So it's going to be up to Jaylen Brown, and I hope Jaylen can continue playing the way he does, because Jaylen is one of those players that's physically, athletically gifted enough and just needs to learn some of those mechanics. He's the opposite, basically, of Jarebko, where Jarebko has a very, you know, mechanical, kind of methodical style and not as much athleticism. Jaylen is, you know, supremely athletic and needs to learn some of that, you know, the methodics and stuff, or the methodological style to get, you know, a little bit smoother of his shot going and everything else. But, you know, with both of them playing, I don't think Jarebko's a total loss with the mask. I mean, he still gives you something. But, you don't want to depend on him. He should be phased out anyway, because I think that, you know, for all intents and purposes, he's coming off the books after this offseason. So, you know, the less you depend on Jarebko, the better for the team anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't like the Swedish fish, but, you know, he's great.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to start moving beyond that point, I think, now. I think he's one of those players that if you're talking about having a 10-man rotation or 11-man rotation, maybe, you know, squeezing, you know, Jonas Jarebko's minutes down a little bit isn't going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? But
I think, you know, like you said, you know, we're going to see Jonas, you know, Amir, probably Tyler Zeller, if they're going to pursue, you know, a max contract. We're going to see all of these big guys coming off the books. So, you know, I think seeing a big improvement is probably something we're going to see in the near future. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us tonight here on CLNS Radio. Shout out to Miley, our caller. I'm going to be doing the game tomorrow. So please, if you were shy tonight, please call in tomorrow and talk with us tomorrow after this Hawks post-game show. The post-game show is going to be available on demand by searching for CLNS Radio at Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as on the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Follow the CLNS team on media at CLNS Radio on Twitter, and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/CLNSFans. Tonight's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Start using ZipRecruiter for free by going to www.ziprecruiter.com/sportsfan. Also, Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/CLNS for three free meals. That's three free meals. I'm going to go do that right now. And free shipping. Also, our friends at Movement, that's mvmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat for 15% off your first purchase with free shipping, as well as Audible, audiblepodcast.com/try. Go there now for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. The music tonight was provided by Nick Sacento and Joshua Morse. We want to thank today's callers and everyone who tuned in. For CLNS Radio, producer Larry H. Russell, program director Justin Poulin, and founder of the network, Nick Gelso. For my co-host and man behind the glass, Nick Sacento, I'm Sam Sheehan. I'll see everyone back here tomorrow night when the Celtics take on Paul Millsap and the Atlanta Hawks. Good night, everyone.